This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
My next guest has sparked a national debate on the conventional wisdom about African in politics. Well, Candace Owens has urged black voters to think independently for themselves and to question liberal orthodoxy. She has been mercilessly attacked online, but coming to her defense, very interestingly, has been hip-hop star Kanye West. Well, he tweeted on Saturday, "I love the way Candace Owens thinks." Is he punking all of us? What's going on with that? As we shared with you last night, a hip-hop radio host also claims that West told him that he loves President Trump and he likes Owens because she's challenging conventional black thought. Joining me now to respond to the controversy is Candace Owens herself. Hey, Candace, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I mean, you just go to a college campus and you start talking about think for yourself and be your own person. And gosh, that's kind of a Me Too thing. Like, stand up for yourself. Don't be a victim. I was listening to you. I didn't see who it was. And I thought, oh, it's like a Me Too thing. And then I thought, oh, it's Candace Owens. Wait a second. Why is it so controversial? Were you surprised that this became, you know, such a big deal? Like, obviously, Kanye weighs in. But were you surprised?
I actually wasn't surprised at all. This is what I've been talking about across college campuses with Turning Point USA, is that there is this liberal indoctrination, and I think that they have a monopoly, not just on our students, which is what we deal with at Turning Point USA, but also on the entire black race in America. They cannot fathom that we might have different ideas. They don't understand because they have significantly created a mental prison for all of us. And the second somebody runs off what I refer to as a democratic plantation, they send the dogs out.
Well, there was an interesting moment on this radio show, this guy Ebro, who's a very interesting host, and he was talking about Kanye West, and he was saying, well, Kanye's not thinking independently because he lives himself in a bubble. Let's watch.
Kanye is talking about things that don't affect him.
They do not. Let's be honest. None of these things affect him. He lives in a bubble where it's like none of us could really understand. All he's surrounded by is the Kardashians and a bunch of yes men and the fashion world and this. He doesn't understand what's happening in the streets, what's happening when it comes to protests. None of that.
Oh, wait a second. As if there aren't multimillionaire African-Americans, Latinos, and others living in Bel Air, Brentwood, Malibu. I mean, because you don't live on the streets, then you can't comment on anything? What? That was odd, bringing in the Kardashians. What was going on with that comment?
It just wasn't a very smart comment is what it comes down to. It was a fallacious argument that could be attacked 1,000 different ways. I mean, to suggest that because somebody has money, they can't think or they don't have any knowledge or facts or data makes entirely no sense. In fact, you could argue that they may have more access to those things. So I thought that was just incredibly just low IQ is what it really comes down to. And at the end of the day, these radio hosts are not the great philosophers of our time. They do what they do. They get on there and they try to stir up the controversy. They talk about the story of the day. And they're incapable of thinking critically.
Well, I'm a radio host, and I talk about the subjects of the day as well, but I try to do it with some degree of knowledge and experience. Candace, where are you going next?
You know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep punching back. I have zero fear when it comes to this because I knew exactly that this was going to be the blowback. I know that you recently had some experience with this. You understand mob mentality. And the result is it usually has adverse results. That's exactly what we see with your show, why it's been so spectacular. And I'm hoping we're going to see the exact same thing in the black community. You create a conflict, and at the end of the day, it ends up waking up more people to an underlying problem, which is the fact that we don't have enough diversity of thoughts within the black community.
All right. Thanks so much, Candace.
Diversity of thought that lifts up, you know, like we talked about before, is it adding or taking away? Kanye West, I don't necessarily agree with everything that he does, but what he's doing here, I applaud him, and certainly what Candace Owens is doing in terms of bringing a counter-narrative to this mob mentality that wants to hold people down, as she says. So kudos for her and the spirit of Martin Luther King. I think right on, just keep it going, and we support that. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Always good to have you along with us. We're going to talk with Andy Puster in just a moment. Donald Trump's leads America's capitalistic comeback. The title of the book, The Capitalist Comeback, The Trump Boom and the Left's Plot to Stop It. Andrew Puster joins us. He is was nominated the CEO to head the U.S. Department of Labor and put forward an America First economic policy. And when that happened, the left went ballistic. Now, why? What fear of success do you have? They knew Andy would take on the unions and what he called the quasi-socialists trying to destroy America's capitalism. Now, as one of president's most trusted advisor, this book is a way for Andy to hit back, the capitalist comeback. Andy Puster, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Great, Bill. Good to be here. Thank you.
Hey, good to have you here to bring reason to this environment. I mean, we keep telling people, look at the empirical evidence. Tell me where socialism, tell me where these theoretical ideas that we totally drowned in under this past administration. I mean, it was like we were living life by theory. You know, God forbid that we ask for empirical evidence that demonstrated that these ideas and policies had worked before and that there was any kind of successful track record.
Well, you got that absolutely right. And actually what I cover, even in the first chapter of the book, you have to remember when Obama came into office, his economists were projecting that in 2011, GDP growth would go to 3.8%. In 2012 and 13, it would exceed 4% because they honestly believed, I think, these socialist policies that they had were going to work. The stimulus that didn't stimulate anything, Dodd-Frank, which actually hurt the banks, Obamacare and the nightmare that created, and all the regulation that he piled on. They thought coming out of a recession, despite what they had done, they'd still see economic growth because the average coming out of recessions for the past 10 had been 4.3%. Well, as you know, he never had a calendar year of 3.3% growth. It was 2.1% average following the end of the recession. And his last year, he had a 1.5% GDP growth. There were no jobs. People dropped out of the labor force. They ended up working part-time jobs or entry-level jobs. It was a disaster. Trump comes in. Business optimism shoots up. He reduces taxes. He reduces regulations. And in the first three quarters of his presidency, we have GDP growth of 3.1% already.
Exactly.
After Larry Summers said that, who was a Trump economist, said that believing in 3% GDP growth was like believing in tooth fairies. And we've turned around the situation on employment. During the Obama administration, every time I did an interview, it was about too few jobs, bad jobs, part-time jobs, entry-level jobs. Nobody could find the kind of good-paying job they needed. Today, the major problem facing American businesses is finding work. workers to fill the good time jobs that are open. We have a historic number of job openings, despite the fact we have an historic number of people employed. So a complete turnaround in the economy.
Yeah, in such a short period of time. And as you say, even the CBO had, and this was to me was the dangerous aspect of what the Obama administration had done to this country in terms of its productivity level and expectation. It had been reduced to maybe about 2%. They said that would be the best that would happen. And then here it is, Donald Trump inside of the first year is blowing the doors down. And it makes you wonder, Andy, if he got a little bit of cooperation from the Democrats and even the media, what we could be looking at today instead of 3.1%, would we already be hitting numbers like 4?
Well, look, you're absolutely right, Bill. We have never in American history had a president that has faced such a concerted effort by the left and the media to discredit his economic accomplishments. And the book, this book I wrote, was designed to give supporters of the president the ammunition they need to fight back and to share these underreported achievements of the administration that really have brought capitalism back to the country. Your point is very good, because he isn't facing the same kind of problems that Ronald Reagan or George Bush faced, because the political opposition has openly now embraced progressive socialism. Democrats were once proud capitalists, too. You know, think of John Kennedy.
Yes.
This isn't the party of John Kennedy anymore, or even Bill Clinton. Let's take Bill Clinton, who you probably didn't think I'd say anything positive about. But he came in, he raised taxes, he apologized, said he raised them too much. He reformed the welfare, he deregulated the banks, he lowered capital gains taxes, he balanced the budget, and he shrank government. Stood in front of the country and said, the era of big government is over.
Yep,
you
exactly.
can't find a Democrat that would say any of those things today. This is the party of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and my book shows how the Democrats have been captured by the socialist ideal, particularly young people. So this is a great book if you have kids or grandkids and you want to show them how free enterprise works, how it brings prosperity to millions of people. It's the best system to lift people out of poverty that's ever been devised. If you want them to read about that, please buy the book. And by the way, I'm contributing all the profits on this book, assuming there are any, to charity. This is not a Jim Comey kind of thing.
Right,
there's
exactly.
Profits. Yeah. I'm giving them to charity. I don't want anybody claiming I did this to make money. This is to get the word out.
Well, Andy, the best thing that could happen as a result of your books, and one of the things that I might suggest is tell the kids, look, at why don't you take a year off, make it 2 years from going to college. You want an education, go get a job. Go there and experience firsthand capitalism and see for yourself, and then come back 2 years later, go back, finish your school if you're so compelled to do so. But I think it would be time well invested on behalf of we the people on their own futures, because this is what this is about, is that you, through experience and wisdom, you have seen this, you have lived this, it's irrefutable. I mean, people with their theories, I mean, what are the Democrats? You know, you mentioned the party of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Cory Booker. I mean, look what they're talking about. Their emerging platform now includes free money, guaranteed jobs, reparations, and I think they missed one. Fox may have missed in the headline as well, free tuition, right?
Yeah, like it's Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember, Bernie Sanders is the guy in 2011 and 2012, when Venezuela was the richest country in South America, and when they were implementing, Chavez and then Maduro were implementing these socialist policies, Bernie Sanders made the statement, the American dream, you can't find it in America, you have to go to countries like Venezuela.
Wow.
And then he commented, who's the banana republic now? Well, a good question to ask today is, people are starving in the streets. They're eating garbage. They can't get medical care. People are running out of Venezuela. They've got an immigration problem similar to what's happening with Syria. People are leaving the country because they're starving.
Exactly.
I mean, this is what socialism does. Look at not only the fall of the Soviet Union, which you and I may remember, but young people today don't, but North Korea and South Korea, those aerial photographs that the satellites take. You know, if socialism worked, it would be North Korea where you saw the lights at night, not South Korea.
Exactly.
And socialism is a failed philosophy. Capitalism has elevated the standard of living for everybody across the planet, particularly since the fall of the Soviet Union. All that data, I've got some great graphs, and I have two graphs in the whole book, but they're they really demonstrate what success people have had under capitalism and the disaster of socialism.
Well, this is the issue of facts and the truth. As they say, they can be stubborn things against ideologues who want you to have a knee-jerk emotional response, and they're going to send you down the river. I mean, we've already been down the river for 8 years with these failed policies. Now we get a businessman who comes in and understands return on investment, and he's turning this country upside down to the good for all concerned. Andrew Pudzer is with us, and we've got more from him on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's 15 after the top of the hour.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I love the way you hold me. Values, faith, service, they still exist here. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be. You take each and every day, making special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be. day. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's the way life is fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, conversation with Andrew Puzder continues, an American attorney, author, businessman, former chief executive officer of CKE Restaurants, I should say, the parent company of Hardee's and Carl's Jr., the home of probably the best $6 burger on the planet, I want to tell you. You know, and I want to tell you, Andy, that maybe if you gave those knuckleheads there in the Beltway $6 burgers, brought them in, maybe they would, you know, confirm you and, you know, get you here on the administration where we need you.
I think the resistance from the left was that it was so severe, and they made it so personal. There was no real, we never really got into policy debate. They attacked me for statements my former wife made in a divorce proceeding, which she later admitted weren't true. They attacked me for having an undocumented worker in our house who I terminated as soon as I found out she was undocumented. But they worked very hard to turn, you know, those two, three, or four Republicans that are kind of squishy. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is, at that point, all you have to do is turn three of them. Now all you have to do is turn two of them, because we only have a one-vote majority in the Senate. So the vice president, if we lose one, the vice president can come in and turn that around with his vote. But I lost three. I lost Murkowski and Collins, which, of course, many conservatives candidates lost, like Betsy DeVos. And then Johnny Isaacson decided not to vote for me. And to this day, I don't know why. But anyway, at that point, it made it impossible to get confirmed.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, when you're talking, and what you're sharing in the book is so common sense that, if you know, for somebody to come in, you know, in the position of labor, you got to have somebody who understands it, that is not a politico. And this is what is so refreshing about the Donald Trump administration, Andy, is all along, I think ever since I was a kid, we were saying we needed to have a president in office who understood business. And look how long it took. And now we have one, and he's turning things upside down and spinning the heads of those on the left that they can't even keep up with it. So then let's talk about collusion. Let's talk about all these, you know, Don Quixote fighting windmill illusions that are out there.
Hey, you know, I was very critical of President Obama's economic policies while he was president. Not because I hope they failed. It was because I was concerned that they would fail. Mm-hmm. I was concerned they would hurt American businesses. They would hurt American workers. And so I never criticized President Obama personally. I think there were others did, and there were reasons to. But that was not a tactic that made any sense to me. He was duly elected twice, mm-hmm. But I did disagree with his policies and came out strongly stating so. But now the opposition of President Trump, it's very, very different. They're using every personal attack they can possibly come up with. They attack him in addition to his policies, and when they attack his policies, quite honestly, the progressive socialists aren't afraid that Donald Trump will succeed or fail. They're not afraid he'll fail like we were afraid Obama would fail. Mm-hmm. They're afraid he's going to succeed.
Exactly.
Because if he succeeds, the comparison of his administration, which relies on free market capitalism, versus the Obama progressive socialist administration, the comparison, it's going to be hard to get that out of people's minds. Like following Ronald Reagan's election, you know, it took, what, another, you know, 18, 20 years before the Democrats could elect another progressive, somebody who could govern as a progressive socialist. You know, people do forget over time, but if Donald Trump can bring this back after the disaster that was the economy under Obama, I think it's going to make a big difference for this country. We almost lost the country.
Exactly. No, I'm right with you. I thought so. I thought so as well. And you think about what he's done in short order here. This is why I'm weary of what the pundits are putting out there. And I'm really disappointed in the mainstream media being all in with the leftist agenda, because they're hurting us. And all we can hope for is that the truth and the facts are louder than this emotion that is being perpetrated, and the fake news, when you got 90% of the news use that is antithetical to this president. I mean, how does that help anybody in this country? If anything is treasonous, and I know that's a heavy-handed word, because we got a lot of stuff that is very smelly that's going on from the FBI on down in our government, this secret cabal, this Templar organization that Donald Trump has identified as the deep state, and which James Comey finally on his tour has admitted. He said, well, it's not exactly the deep state. He sees himself as a ballast. So now, whatever you want to call it, if you're talking about, as Donald Trump said, that they wiretapped his offices there in Manhattan. We said, well, wiretap, that's not, you know, that's not the right word. Well, but he was right in principle, because they did, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you and I were talking after the election, we talked about losing the country, and it was I thought we were going to lose it because Obama and Clinton would have 16 years of these socialist progressive policies, and we would lose the American dream. We'd lose free market capitalism. At that time, I had no idea that there was a coup effect going on
yes.
in these law enforcement agencies. And so when I say now, when I say we lost the country, I mean it in two ways, not just economically, but we would have lost our heart and soul. We would have turned it over to this administrative state. Because, you know, if Clinton had been elected president, none of what we're hearing now would ever have come to light. It would simply have encouraged these individuals who are attempting to manipulate elections and manipulate the democratic process. It would have encouraged them to continue doing so through electing candidates who supported the swamp or the massive government state that we've created. So it was a very dangerous time. And there are elements. They're not just attacking on the top. You know, they're attacking our kids, as
exactly.
we discussed a little bit earlier. The school systems are so leftist. They're controlled by the teachers' unions. Betsy DeVos is making progress in pulling that back, but it's a real infiltration. There's hundreds of thousands of kids are taught history in high school from a book by Howard Zinn, who's an admitted Marxist, and teaches this warped version of American history as oppression, as opposed to political liberty and economic freedom. You've got the entertainment industry where, you know, film after film, even cartoons, even kid shows, the villains are always CEOs or corporations or rich guys or rich gals or businessmen, businesswomen. People that have realized the American dream are caricatures for people who are evil or people who are the bad guys historically. And it's no wonder that we keep seeing polls that shows that millennials view socialism favorably. That's all they've been taught. Or that at our schools, people want to ignore the First Amendment because you might actually hear what the other side thinks. My God, how could that possibly happen? We're in real trouble here, even though President Trump has, in my opinion, saved us from a very disastrous fate given the history of liberty in our country. But we need to step it up. We need to, while he's in office, we need to fight back. We need to
exactly.
fight back at every level. And that's, I try and lay that out in the book so people can see it very plainly. We got an election coming up. Nancy Pelosi takes control of the House. We're done.
That's right.
I mean, the President Trump's progress is over. So this is a big election, and I hope people understand what's at stake.
Well, Andy, it's a time for courage, and we need to have a clean assessment of what's going on. You know, in running companies, one of the first things you do when you take over the helm is you want to be able to assess the culture, assess the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities within an organization. Donald Trump has done that very quickly. I thought it was quite interesting. After his first week, he came out. I don't know if you remember this or not. When he walked out in the Rose Garden, one of the news people said, "Hey, Mr. President, how's it going?" He's going, "It's bad. It's really bad." And the look on his face was that he wanted to say more, but just those two sentences were enough to tell you that it was worse than what he thought. It was like a bankruptcy attorney looking at a company that says, you know, we just need to put this thing out of its misery. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It was bad. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And anything that the progressives, the socialists, which are now synonymous with the Democrats, anything they can do to conceal how bad things were or to get back into power, to continue on with what they were doing and the road they were taking the country down, that they will do it. Like Mike Pompeo's confirmation, how on earth do you not confirm?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Pompeo, et cetera.
Well, Andy, we got to leave it there. Congratulations on the book, climbing up the charts, The Capitalist Comeback, The Trump Boom, and the Left's Plot to Stop It.
Thank you very much.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
You come right in. Get through all my brokenness. Get through all my hopelessness. I am not alone. You come right in.
Radio America, 20 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and, you know, summer sun just ran around the corner. Fast cars, barbecue, you know, how much more fun can you imagine, huh? Well, grilling season is upon us. Whether you're already a king or queen of the road when it comes to mastering the pit, there are some surefire tips we want to share with you to keep you on track. Now, you know, being from Los Angeles, I got to tell you, and I came to the South, and I found out rather abruptly difference between barbecue and grilling. You know, in L.A., we didn't know about grilling. You know, very little was said about grilling. I don't know why, what got lost in translation, but everything was barbecue. And, you know, and I came here to the South, and they go, no, you got to understand. This is grilling, and here to help us understand and get me out of my ignorance and advance my my attempt at mastering the grilling science here is NASCAR driver Eric Almirola and world champion pitmaster Tuffy Stone, former Marine like yours truly, Semper Fi Tuffy, and they're here to give us a hoorah. We're going to have a lot of fun here. So as I say, we're here with the world champion pitmaster Tuffy Stone and NASCAR driver Eric Almirola live from Stuart Haas Racing headquarters in North Carolina. And there's one thing these two have in common, their love for the grill. Hey guys, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Eric here, and yeah, it's fun. It's the weather's getting beautiful. It's time to get out and get grilling. And for me, I'm just everyday Joe when it comes to the grill. But we have the man, the myth, the legend, Tuffy Stone here with us, who can shed a little light on what it takes to make food amazing on the grill.
Exactly. Tuffy, be gentle with me. I mean, I opened up with my vulnerability about not knowing the difference between barbecue and grilling. So just for full disclosure sake, you know.
Well, I think that's okay. I think a lot of parts of the country and a lot of parts in the world, barbecue is cooking anything over fire. And that includes the grill. You know, when you get into the South, we start to get a little bit more pinpointed in how we define barbecue, and it becomes bigger, tougher cuts of meat that take hours and hours to coax the greatness. But I'm okay with how you define your barbecue. Cooking on the grill, cooking with fire, it's perfectly, I mean, that's an okay way to describe it, and I think everybody tends to like cooking with a grill.
Hey, anytime you can get outside and have good friends around and good social time and, you know, and enjoying, whether it's barbecuing or grilling, it's no harm, no foul. So, Tuffy, Eric gave you the big wind-up in the pitch here. I mean, you're the master chef here, so give us the tips and tricks to help us get ready for the grilling season.
So, you know, I think for me, there's certain things that are really, really important when it comes to cooking with fire. And I think the first is starting with great meat. You know, if I'm going to cook for my family, or if I'm going to have friends over, or I'm out there on the competition circuit, I know I need to start with great meat. And so the way I identify great meat is to look at that meat and look for marbling, those striations of fat that's in the meat itself. When I go to cook it on the grill or the smoker, when I cook it, it's gonna, that fat's gonna provide better tasting meat, and it's gonna make for a juicier product. So whether you're cooking something like some fresh pork ribs or fresh pork loin, that inner marbling is key. So I say start with great meat. Then, you know, with your grill, you want to get it hot. You want to run a clean fire. I just got a cookbook that's coming out in May, and so there's lots of recipes and lots of techniques in there. But, you know, when it comes to the rub and the sauce, I want those to be backdrop flavors to the beautiful flavor of the fresh pork. I think when it comes to sauce work, and I think we can all relate to maybe having had some meat off the grill before where the barbecue sauce has burned on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I always want the sauce to be a backdrop, or I always want the sauce to be a finishing step. So cook the meat until it's tender or done, and then apply your sauce in the end, and be careful not to burn it. Those are just some of the tips for you.
Eric, are you hungry already? What do you like to throw?
I'm hungry. You can't see it right now, but we're actually doing a satellite media tour today. So in between talking to you and other folks, we're on camera. We've got a set here with some amazing barbecue and side items. And one of my favorites is actually here on the table with us. And like I said, Tuffy is the professional, and he's the man with the patience when it comes to grilling and barbecue. But for me, I really like to take one of Smithfield's pork loins. I'll mm-hmm. dice it up, cut it up into cubes, throw them on a skewer with some vegetables, and we have kebabs ready in about 15, 20 minutes. So, and the whole family loves them. My wife mm-hmm. and kids love to eat the kebabs. So we really enjoy that, and that's one you know, quick weeknight dinner for us on the grill.
Well, good fun. Tuffy, we're ready to get grilling, so you have a contest to tell us about. What's all that about?
Well, we've got Smithfield has got this contest, and it's Hero of the Grill. And I think everybody that's listening, and I think we all have somebody that inspired us to, whether it was your dad or in my case it was my grandmother and smokers out beside her back porch. But somebody has inspired most of us to fire up the grill and to learn how to cook on the grill. So in Eric's case, it's his two best friends. But the contest is going to be, what, the first 10,000? Yeah, so you can go to SmithfieldGetGrilling.com. And when you go on there, you can nominate your hero of the grill. And everybody, like I said, everybody has a hero of the grill. Everybody has somebody that they look up to that's just amazing on the grill, or they just have a passion for grilling. So Smithfield's done this really cool contest. The first 10,000 are going to get their names actually printed onto our Smithfield Ford Fusion, and I'm going to drive that race car.
Oh, wow.
10,000 names on it at the Richmond, Virginia race in September. Mm-hmm. And one of those lucky 10,000 nominees are actually going to win $5,000. So,
oh, good fun.
A really cool contest.
Well, that's great. Are we going to put some secret sauce in the little petrol mix there to juice it up a little bit more even?
Whatever it takes, bud. Whatever it takes.
Well, why not? You know, this is the thing about grilling and barbecue. It brings the family together, brings friends together. It's such a great social time. And as you say, Tuffy, there are people that inspire us along the way that, like yourself, that have been doing this for so long. And for you, has this been kind of a natural thing for you? You just always gravitated toward cooking and trying to find better ways to make food taste better?
Well, you know, I did. I always liked cooking. I didn't think I was going to become a professional chef or a pitmaster initially.
Yeah.
But I always enjoyed cooking a whole lot, and some of the things that you just touched on that really compelled me and made me like it. But barbecue came into my life in a big way about 14 years ago. I'm a little different in the barbecue pitmaster world. I started off in a French kitchen, getting yelled at by a guy that I could barely understand.
Understand what he's saying? I love it. That's great.
But I got into barbecue just as taking on a new culinary activity to reconnect with cooking, because my wife and I had grown our business and I wasn't cooking anymore. But, you know, barbecue, you know, and you talk about this, I always say barbecue is the most friendly food. It's the most gregarious food, and it's typically picnics and family reunions and larger gatherings, and I really like that. And mm-hmm. And it's so much heart that goes into cooking with fire, and whether it be pork ribs or pork loin or pork shoulder or whatever it is you're cooking on the grill.
It's, right.
I don't know. I kind of went off the barbecue deep end, but
but that's okay. We got to wrap it up right there, Eric. All the best for this upcoming racing season, Tuffy. Thank you. Great ideas. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Money, 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 money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest
largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
You one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's where you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. This is where reason comes together with faith and a pursuit of the truth, no matter where it leads. Thank you for being with us 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And we're going to be talking with a Pentagon defense expert on autonomous weapons and the future of war. We've been seeing it on the big screen for many years, and we probably have questioned from time to time how far away are we from realizing military robotics in the field of battle. Here with us is U.S. Army, former U.S. Army Ranger Paul Shari, and we're going to talk about his new book, Army of None, Autonomous Weapons and the Future of War. Paul, good to have you back with us and to have the opportunity to talk to you once again. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I love the book. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, it is something that I think all of us as kids growing up, you know, saw this on the big screen and said, okay, when is this going to be a real thing? And what you're saying is that we've got global spending on military robotics estimated to reach something like $7.5 billion this year.
That's right, and a lot of the things that we might have seen in science fiction a few years ago are coming real. Those things that used to be in the future, they're happening now. We're seeing militaries around the globe building robotic systems in the air, on land, and at sea. Listeners are probably familiar with drones. There are at least 90 countries that have drones already today, and many non-state groups like ISIS, like the Islamic State. Many of these are armed. There are at least 16 countries that have armed drones. And with each generation, they get increasingly autonomous. Just like we're seeing in automobiles, an advent of new autonomous features in each new generation of cars. So the question that the book is grappling with is, what happens when a Predator drone has as much autonomy as a self-driving car?
Exactly.
What decisions are we willing to delegate to these machines, particularly when we're talking about life and death decisions in war?
Yeah. How many mistakes are we willing to live with?
That's right. And how do we deal with the scale of mistakes? Because one of the concerns is that you could have a runaway autonomous weapon, a malfunction that goes on and it keeps malfunctioning because it doesn't know any better. It doesn't know to stop. We've seen instances like this in stock trading, where we've seen a competitive arms race in speed and a move towards high-frequency trading in milliseconds, where humans are out of the loop, and we have automated bots trading against other automated bots. And humans program them, and they set them up. But now they're interacting in this competitive environment. And sometimes you get unexpected behaviors, things like flash crashes. So one of the things people are worried about is the military equivalent of that, a flash war between these robotic systems.
Exactly. And, of course, that raises, legal and ethical issues, right?
That's right. I mean, we have these things called the laws of war that are supposed to be protections against some of the worst horrors of war. They do lay out certain conditions for what militaries can do in the battlefield that they have to comply with. They have to make sure that they only target enemy combatants. They don't deliberately go after civilians. The laws of war say that collateral damage of civilian casualties, that happens sometimes, that's unfortunate, but it can't be disproportionate to the military necessity of what the military is trying to attack. So these are a high bar for autonomous weapons to reach in some areas, but there's nothing intrinsically in the laws of war that says you couldn't allow machines to make these targeting decisions all on their own.
And then what happens, then you've got plausible deniability, and who's accountable? How are you going to bring a robot to The Hague?
That's right. This is one of the concerns, is that if the robot makes a mistake, kill someone, and then you go back and you say, well, who's accountable? You're going to put the robot on trial? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
The person who launched the robot, because there's somebody behind it, that person might legitimately say, look, I didn't know it was going to do that. Right? I didn't know it was going to make that mistake.
Right.
So you could, I guess, make the human a scapegoat, but that's not fair. That's not the right answer either.
Right.
Would you hold the developer accountable? So there's some concern that there's an accountability gap, that maybe no one is responsible. And that's very unsatisfactory. But what's interesting is the laws of war don't say you have to be able to hold an individual accountable. And we have these things already that are accidents, where their mistakes are made, and civilians die. And that happens even with people involved.
Exactly.
Ultimately, the country is always responsible, but there may not always be a person that we can grab a hold of and depend the blame on.
Wow. I mean, this is risky, no doubt about it. When you dehumanize, on one hand, the military effect in a combat situation, but the subject is still, you know, the object of it is still, you know, humanity. I mean, we're the effect, and you could have somebody sitting there, look at, I kept hitting the button. Everybody saw me hit the button. I couldn't stop it. It just kept on going as if it had a mind of its own.
Well, and that's absolutely one of the concerns, is how do we move forward into this emerging technology without losing our humanity in the process? I mean, one of the arguments for autonomous weapons is that you look at something like self-driving cars, and they're still improving, but we could clearly get to a world someday where cars could drive better than humans. Humans are not really very good drivers at all. And some people have argued, well, what if we could do the same in war? We could have weapons that avoid civilian casualties and reduce some of the horrors of battle. One of the challenges there is, how do you do that in a way that doesn't lose human moral responsibility for what happens in war?
Exactly.
I'll give you an example. I was in a situation in Afghanistan early in the wars when I was on a Ranger sniper team, and we were up on the Pakistan border. And a little girl came out, and she was sent by the Taliban to scout our position. She was scouting for the enemy. Now, we watched her. She kind of did a long circle around us. She was reporting back on a radio our position. She's maybe 5 or 6 years old. And then she left. And then soon after, the Taliban fighters came along. Now, we took care of them, And then we talked afterwards about what would we do in that situation again? How would we respond? We talked about maybe we would, if we found a civilian, we'd pat him down, see if they had a radio, see if we were compromised. I can tell you something that never came up was the idea of shooting this little girl. Right? That would have been wrong. But what's interesting is it would have been legal under the laws of war. Because even though she was a child, she was participating in hostilities. And the law does not set an age for combatants. It's about your behavior. So right. if you built a robot to follow the laws of war, it would have killed this girl. And so how do you make sure that you have human judgment in these decisions? Because a robot may not know the difference between what's legal and what's right.
Well, you know, you bring the point. I mean, this is on a domestic issue. I don't know if you saw that video of the Canadian that ran over, you know, all the people there. And then afterwards, when the police had circled him, it was like death by suicide by police officer. I mean, he kept waving. I don't know if it was a gun or not, but it looked like it was. Boy, there's a lot of police that would have, fired on him because he kept thrusting if it was a cell phone or a gun, and he kept saying, shoot me in the head. And he seemed to be very aggressive in presenting a threatening situation to the officer. Case in point to what you're making is if it would have been somebody else, a RoboCop, he would have taken that guy out.
Well, and there might be, and this is what's hard about this, is there might be some situations where robots and artificial intelligence could help us. So, for example, we know that we can build machines right now that identify objects faster and more reliably and accurately than humans do.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you have a robot sensor that, can look at this object in this person's hand and determine whether it's a gun or scan their pocket maybe from a distance with some kind of remote sensor that penetrates into the clothing, like the things at TSA airports.
Right.
And say, you know, what's this under this person's clothing? You could do that. What if you just had a robot that gives the police officers a little bit of standoff. So now the police officer or soldier on the battlefield doesn't have to make the split-second choice. It's me or them.
Yeah, he's got time.
The robot up
right.
there, right?
Exactly.
And the robot catches the bullet.
Right.
So those are things that we want to use robotics for, but we want to use them in a way that doesn't surrender a human judgment in war either.
Well, Paul, what we're considering here is artificial intelligence and military technology, bringing this together on some surfaces and point of discussion. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It's amazing what the technology is doing. It's moving forward so incredibly quickly. Some of these things are good, and they have a lot of advantages, but some of them are actually kind of scary. And there are some things that we could do with the technology that we might want to avert, but you know, not everyone has the same values. Not everyone's going to see it the same way. You've got people like Bashar al-Assad killing civilians using poison gas right now in Syria. And that's something we have to take into account, too, that not everyone out there is going to be trying to use this in the most ethical way.
Exactly. It's not exactly a nuclear weapon, but it is a very powerful weapon. And what makes this work, just to your point, is can we trust the other guy, the other countries?
That's right. This is one of the really hard challenges in governing this technology is you've had people calling for ban. You know, this technology is too dangerous and there's too many risks that we should just ban it. And, you know, there are some examples of successful bans in the past. It's very hard to pull off. But at the core of the problem here is this issue of trust. So how do you reliably get countries to trust each other? How do you get them to convince each other, look, I'm not cheating, because we know that countries do that. Russia is cheating right now on an arms control agreement, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with the United States. And so how do we make sure that countries can trust each other and we can verify? You know, Reagan said trust but verify.
We can verify
what others are actually doing.
Well, at the forefront of this game-changing debate, Army of None, his new book engages military history, global policy, bleeding-edge science to explore what it could mean to give machines authority over the ultimate decision, life or death. Paul Shari, a former U.S. Army Ranger, has been our guest. His book, linked on our website, Army of None, Autonomous Weapons and the Future of War. Paul, congratulations on the book. Great information. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils,